Well, welcome back to the God School. We are going through the book of Galatians, this epistle of Paul to a church that he personally founded. This book of Galatians, by most scholars' opinion, is the first epistle written in the New Testament. It is, I believe, a preeminent epistle of the New Testament. It is that writing by the Apostle Paul, which was the foundation of the Protestant Reformation led by Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, "I'm married to the book of Galatians." That is, he didn't want to live without it. Now, last week, we ended with those verses which I said ought to become part of your daily speech. God likes to hear things, you know, out of our mouth, particularly His word spoken, which we have received in our hearts and do repeat back to God. Wherein Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Then Christ came for nothing. Then Christ lived a perfect life for nothing. Then Christ gave his perfect life for nothing." And he opens what's called the third chapter, where he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you." He says, "Who has bewitched you?" The Greek word is baskahino, being translated here, bewitched. If we went to a concordance, it says to bring evil on one by feigned praise, an evil eye, to charm. Oh, yes, Jesus saves, by grace you're saved. But, oh, Sister Sally, you do such good work. God is certainly happy with you. Oh, Brother Bob, all that you've done here for the church, God is truly going to reward you. Oh, former junkie who has given up that life dealing with drugs. Oh, God is certainly going to be happy about that. Hey, you know, this relationship with God does change. It does change us for the better. But this life in the flesh is always going to be in a condition of hamartia, Greek word, sin. That means I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much of the Spirit in you is. But if you're relying on what you see and somehow or other call it good works, well, if they're good works, number one, God, it says, has ordained that we should walk in good works. So if it's any good works, God gets the credit. But wherein anything is accredited to us as self-righteousness, we are being bewitched. We're being charmed. It's interesting. You know, King James translators, I always say this to people, I believe it's the most honest translation available in English. At least the translators tell you when they add things to the scriptures. But wherein it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey? I don't know why they use this word obey. The word in the Greek for obey is akoue. It means to have ears, to run to the sayer. This word is pitheo. Who has bewitched you that you should not be persuaded? Of the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the spirit of the law? Received ye the spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. God has revealed himself through this, which we call the Bible. And I think the number one message of all of it is God's faithful. God does what he says. When you come to that understanding, God can be trusted. And God is looking for trust. Did you get the Spirit? Here's part of that, which we call the gospel. Part of God's word of the New Testament. The good news that for faith, God gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us that part payment. Not in full. If it were in full, this flesh would bust apart. That parable in the gospel about new wine and old wineskins, it would bust apart if they filled it up. We get a piece of the life of Christ in us called the Holy Spirit. Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Are ye now made complete in the flesh? Not yet, folks. Faithful is he who called us, who will also do it, who will sanctify us wholly. Over there, this journey on earth is designed to move us into eternity, and that through faith, even the faith of Jesus Christ. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it yet be in vain, I'm so tired of that which is being preached that is not the gospel. so many out there saying, you know, if you only follow God's word, you'll have a good life. Well, folks, I'm telling you, I'm 73 years old. I have no doubt that from before the foundation of the world, God chose me out from among those he didn't choose, and he did it for himself in Christ. That he has been shepherding me all these years, many years I didn't know it, but now for well over 40 years, I have begun to know and am knowing and am learning every day of God's leading. But I want to tell you this right now. In this relationship with God, it has not been a bowl of cherries. Oftentimes it seems like just a bowl of pits. Is this what I get for putting my life in your hands, God? This, that, the other thing. Sicknesses, poverty, loss of friends. I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to tell you the reality of the relationship that we are having with God and the consequences of that relationship here on earth, where the God of this world rules, and there is warfare ensued. But we've titled these messages out of Galatians, "The War in the Church." We've explained how these guys got off the path. They got charmed into thinking that somehow, now that they've received the Holy Spirit, that now they're going to be perfect in the flesh, and they're going to start doing this and not doing that, and not doing the other thing and doing this. They're bewitched by ceremonies, by religious activities, by doctrines of men which make void the word of God, according to what Jesus said. I'm staying with him. "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, worketh he miracles among you? Doeth it he by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" Just a quick thing. You know, there's no doubt we have the testimony of the Word of God that in Paul's ministry, he worked what we call miracles. But that's not what's being said here. What's being said here is, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, worketh he miracles among you?" The words, better translated in English, is energizes power. Ergon dunamai. Ergon, we get that word energy from. And dunamai, we get our word dynamite from. Energizes power among you. Does he do it? Does he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? He does it the same way you do it. He's not perfect either. I'm certainly not perfect. And neither is anyone else still living in the flesh. We preach the word of God, not our own philosophy. "He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit, worketh he miracles among you? Does he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham faithed God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. just take a minute there. That that Paul is quoting from Genesis 15th chapter, 6th verse, and the Hebrew says, and Abraham amened. That is, Abraham had no doubt in what God said, and in that state of mind of having no doubt of God and his word, it says, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, this word righteousness, I'm sorry to bog down. I'm not sorry to bog down. I'm happy to bog down with a little Greek grammar. This word righteousness is in what we call the accusative case. And when a word is in the accusative case, it means it's something that is being done to, from an outside agency to the one receiving it. This righteousness we're speaking of is a righteousness of God that he gives to those who trust him. Know ye therefore, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. A couple of things I'd like to point out to you. Again, you know, I love the King James Bible. Truly I do. But I'm so grateful for the helps that scholars over the decades, over the centuries, who have helped preserve manuscripts wherein we can go back to the original words. For instance, it said, seeing that God would justify the heathen, this word in the Greek is ethnos. It's ethnics. Out of every nation, tongue and kindred. Ethnos, ethnics. You know, it's not a derogatory word here in the heathen. You're going to see in another place in this same chapter where they translate that same word, Gentile. You know what a Gentile is? It's anyone who is not a Jew. I've said this before, but just set you to thinking. You know, the word Jew, the lineage of the Jew comes from their father, Judah. But he was only one of 12 sons of Israel. Which means, more or less, that the other 10 or 11 weren't Jews. Therefore, who were they? Gentiles. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it for a while. And it was accounted unto him, legos mai. God said righteousness. When God speaks, it is. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Eulogia is the Greek word, and it just means good word. There is a good word. There is hope for fallen man. So, then they, which be of faith, are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as, listen to this, listen close, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For as written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Folks, 613 laws. Most of which none of you even know. Me too. Because I haven't stayed in those laws very often. Because early on, I came to know that was not the way of life. That continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is righteousified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. The order of the Greek words is, the just by faith shall live, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live, Leviticus 18:5. That's a promise of God. Anyone who could do all the law, continue in all the law, personally, perfectly, and perpetually, you'll live. Hope you're not hanging your hope on that promise of God. There's only one that did it, and his name was Jesus the Christ. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us. This word in the etymology speaks to the activity wherein one pays the price to redeem that which was lost. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, redeemed to pay the price. He gave the ultimate price. He gave his life, not only the life of Jesus, the perfect life of Jesus, which was worth more than the whole world put together. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, King James says, for us. No, being made a curse over us. The sentence for not keeping the whole law, the sentence for sin, was death. It's like the guillotine coming down, the blades coming down. It's fallen right on us. But Christ stepped in and took that which was due us upon himself, that our Father might now treat us the way his Son deserved to be treated, because his Son was treated as we deserved to be treated. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why did he do this? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the ethnics through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, through the faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. He's talking about, you know, our last will and testament. Now, there was a time when that was honored. Today, we have lawyers who can foul anything up and mix anything up. Just watch how the government works. But it says, though it be but a man's testament, no man disannuls. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, Paul says, which is Christ. And this I say, listen, if God's given you ears, listen to this, that you might come to the understanding of the grace of God and the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. We're going to encounter this word promise often in this chapter. And oft times here at the God School, I have described faith as grabbing hold of the promises of God with the understanding that He said it. Therefore, they're more real than anything that we might see, feel, or encounter. And we act with that confidence upon His promises. The law which came 430 years after cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Let's stop here for a moment. It was added because of transgressions. Came 430 years after the promise. It says, till the seed should come. Who's the seed? We already read this. The seed is Christ. So, what we have here in the law is a late comer. It cannot disannul the promise. And it's around till the seed should come. It's not only a late comer, folks, but it's an early leaver. It's gone. And speaking of this law, says, it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Doesn't say came from God. Paul says angels. You all know that angels are going to be our servants in eternity. This is secondhand. And then it goes to a man, Moses. Whew. You know, don't put your confidence in performance of the law. Now, a mediator is not of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. We started out this morning I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Paul's told you. There's no law, there's no performance of law that gives life. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that faith. But before the faith came, literally, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed, be uncovered. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. Wherefore, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be righteousified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. We're no longer under the law. For ye are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. God now sees you. This is a great leap of faith. But God's word said it. God now sees us as Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female, for we are all one in Christ. You just can't get better than that. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We have the right to grab hold of all the promises of God. That's the license in the New Testament found in 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God are in him, that is in Jesus, yea, and in him, amen, no doubt, no doubt, amen. We're trying to put this war taking place in the church in perspective. For 2,000 years, the James crowd has influenced the activities of the church. I'm turning pages because I want to read a couple things before we close. You know, the book of James was not considered scripture until about the 5th century after Christ. From the second chapter of this, what Martin Luther called strawy little epistle with not one word of gospel in it, second chapter says, what doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? My answer is yes. He goes on to say, in the 17th verse, even so, if faith have not works, it's dead being alone. Faith alone. He's saying faith alone is dead. Paul says, therefore, we conclude in the third chapter of the book of Romans that a man is righteousified by faith without the works of the law. Do you think these guys were in conformity with each other as to their understanding of the gospel? You know, this guy James, so-called brother of Jesus, there is not one word of scripture that lets us know that he followed Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. In fact, you'll find, I think it's in the third or fourth chapter of Mark, where he and his family thought Jesus was crazy, that he was beside himself. But this guy has taken a position and had influence in the church. And I've had pastor after pastor try to come in and they talk to me and they want to somehow or other coalesce and bring Paul and James together. I'm telling you, this book of James was written in direct response and opposition to the message that Paul was preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of God our Father. He says in the 17th verse, even so, if it has not works, is dead, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. Yes, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. 20th verse, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that without works, that faith without works is dead. I was reading some of Luther the other day, and, you know, the church, this Jamesonian church, via the Roman Catholic Church, used to use Latin words out of that fifth chapter of Galatians, and we'll correct it here today, hopefully, wherein it says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And this King James Bible would take you from that 20th verse of James 2 to Galatians 5:6. And the church would say, oh yeah, you might have faith, but you know, where's your love? Well, I'm telling you, but this is really saying faith energizes love. And I want to assure you, if there wasn't a love in me for God's people, I wouldn't have spent these 16 years attempting to show the truth of God's word. And I, you know, it says, hate not in your heart. Well, I hate what this guy, James, has done to the Church of Jesus Christ. I think many men and women who over the centuries have been called and chosen by God have left the church because of what church ceremonies and religious rites and men's doctrines have done to the gospel, and have left and have never had the opportunity to hear the true word of God. But this guy, James, goes on and then he says, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. And he finishes that second chapter, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Well, you know, there's a work going on, folks, and I'm telling you that salvation, that gift of eternal life with God and His Son, God our Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, there is work going on, and it is God. Read that 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. It is God that doeth the work. And He, that is God, and our Lord Jesus Christ are faithful. Be thou faithful also. And that's the God School for today.